father, turn on your light. Sister, turn your light on. And if you put your light together, turn on your light.
Yeah.
Yes. White man, turn your light on. Oh, if you put your light together, you can light up the world. Ooh. Cold, you turn on your light. Ooh, yeah. Baptist, turn your
show today. I know, show started late, and that's my fault, because I was watching the Duke County game, because tonight is Coach K's last game, so I got caught in the game, didn't pay attention to the time. Yeah, so watching that, you know, Duke is up. Carolina's, I like Duke, but Carolina's one of my team. So it's like, dang, should I let Coach K win because it's his last game? Or should I be rallying behind my boys? Like, let's get it, let's get it. But yeah, the Duke Carolina game is on, and it's Coach K's final game. I think they said he's been coaching for like 42 years. Like, 42. Who coaches that long? He's got some coaching in him. He looks like he's still got some coaching in him. And you know what? Coach K would stay coaching. I'm sure one of his grandchildren would have been on his team being by him. His wife's 42nd season as the Duke's team mom. Wow. Scores 50-44. Duke is up. North Carolina just got fouled coming back from the half. And they scored. So, but, and under his tutelage, we've gotten some great players in the NBA. Zion is one. Well, Shane Batty, he's not anymore, but he was under Coach K. Christian Laettner was under Coach K. He's not playing anymore. Grant Hill was under Coach K. And I think when Grant Hill was part of Duke, him, Christian Laettner, I think that's when I started liking Duke. When Grant Hill and Christian Laettner were there. And that's when I started liking Duke. See, for me, when it comes to sports, when I like teams, I hate to see the teams I really, really like play against each other. Because it's like, dang. It's like, I like North Carolina. North Carolina is one of my top. Michigan is one of my top. Michigan State is one of my top. Syracuse and UConn and Georgetown. But when they play each other, I'm like, I know I should be, you know, in that moment, I got to be neutral because I can't choose one over the other. Because I like both teams, but it sucks. The same thing in football. The same thing for football for me. It's like, dang. When my top teams play against each other, I'm like, dang, I got to be neutral. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I got to be neutral. And I hate that. And you know what? In a WNBA, I only got like two teams I really on my top, which is the New York Liberty and the Sparks. Those are because my girl Lisa Leslie and my girl Candace Parker was on the Sparks. And I think that's why I gravitated to the Sparks. And, you know, I'm from New York, so, you know, New York Liberty is my team. College, you know what's crazy? College basketball, women's basketball, my top for the men is not the same for the women. Like, I know Duke has, not Duke, like, I know North Carolina has a women's team, but they're not in my top when it comes to women's basketball. That's UConn. UConn is definitely in my top. UConn men and women is in my top. Syracuse, if they do have a women's team, they're not in my top. I think it was Virginia. My girl Dawn Stanley, the team she played for back in the day. She's now the coach at South Carolina, I think. And the team she played for, that was a team I liked. But really, UConn is my, even though my top men's is UConn, Syracuse, North Carolina, Georgetown, Michigan, and Michigan State. Those are my tops. There's other teams that I like, right? But they're not, like, if I go top 10 of college men's teams that I like, then Duke fits in there. right? If I just go, I know people do top five, and Michigan State would be under, because my top five is North Carolina, UConn, Syracuse, Georgetown, and Michigan. Then if I add in the six, that comes Michigan State. Add in the six, that's Michigan State. Then you can say Duke. I like Tennessee. I do like Tennessee. Tennessee women's team is in my top. Right? And the men's team. I like the men's team, but the women's team I like more than the men's team. That's what my girl Candace Parker from I watch her play, and she's a phenomenal player. You know, it's a lot of people that I've watched during their college day that's now in the pro leagues. It's like, you know, they're in the pro leagues. It's like, wow. Who would ever think that we would have a WNBA? So who would ever think that we would have a WNBA? Right? Who would think? And even though they don't get paid as big as the guys do, but I'm glad we got a WNBA. And I'm glad some of my favorite players from the college teams I watched got to, you know, show their skills off further than just college. You know, for a lot of, you know, before they started the WNBA, college was it. That was it. You know what I'm saying? College was it. That's the last time you ever get to play basketball. But now they start, you know, they got the WNBA, you know, reaching for the WNBA. Yeah. So let's get into this show. You know, and I think one of my stories I'm going to share with you today is a sports one. Let me pull up. Let me see. Do I have a sports? No, I don't have one. I thought I had a sports one, but I don't. So, we're going to go this route. Share some good news. You know? I'm going to share some good news. And congratulations goes to James L. Jones. Says, Broadport Theater to be renamed after James Earl Jones, an icon in the community. Says the EGOT winner, his court theater debut in 1958, a year after he got his start on Broadway. James Earl Jones' name is set to grace an iconic building in New York City. The Schubert Organization announced in a news release that the 10-year-old Court Theater will be renamed after the legendary act in celebration of his lifetime contributions to Broadway and the entertainment community. The Schubert Organization is so incredibly honored to put James, an icon in the theater community, the Black community, and the American community, forever in Broadway's lights. Robert E. Winkle and Schubert Organization CEO Board Chair said in a statement that James deserves to have his name immortalized on Broadway is without question. Jones, 91, got his Broadway start in 1958 1957, making his court debut in the 1958 play Sunrise. Excuse me, y'all. It is Sunrise at Camp Obello. And the successful 6.5-decade career that followed, he has starred 21 Broadway shows, became an EGOT, an Emmy, Grammy, and Oscar winner, and Tony winner, and received the Kennedy Center Honor. Jones scored his Tony Awards twice, winning Best Actor in a Play with The Great White House in 1969 and Fences in 1987, as well as the Lifetime Achievement Award in 2017. Throughout his illustrious career, Jones has also been awarded the National Medal of Arts and 7 Drama Desk Awards. The Court Theater, which is on 138 West 48th Street, has been under construction during the coronavirus pandemic, with the work set to be completed this summer. Once renovations are completed and the building reopens for productions, a dedication ceremony will be held to honor Jones. Commenting on the honor, Jones said that the idea of a theater being named after him would have been inconceivable at the start of his acting career. For me, standing in this very building 64 years ago at the start of my Broadway career, it would have been inconceivable that my name would be on the building today, he said in the statement shared by Schubert. Let my journey from then to now be an inspiration for all aspiring actors. Congratulations to James Earl Jones, having the Court Theater named after him. And we're going to keep you up to date with the score from the North Carolina Duke game. It's a 2-point lead in the game. Duke is still up. Yes, I think, I don't know if someone on Duke was fouled or Duke fouled someone on North Carolina. You know, so like I said, congratulations, James L. Jones. And now we're going to get into, let's do Where Are They Now? That's what we're going to get into right now. Where are they now? So you remember back in the 90s, late 90s? I'm trying to remember when Making a Band started. If you remember, Making a Band had, with Diddy, had 2 seasons, no, three seasons, because he had the group called The Band, and then he had Danny DeCane, and then he had Day 26. Okay. So where are they now, the cast of MTV's Making a Band 2? 15 years ago, when MTV announced that Sean Diddy Combs would be taking over the Making the Band franchise after boy band O Town was created, everyone was interested in seeing how things would go. Unfortunately, no one was prepared for the long-lasting impact and sometimes gut-wrenching scenes that would come along with fighting for a spot on the Bad Boy roster. After countless auditions, lyrically murderous rap battles, and countless altercations under one roof, the hard work of 6 individuals finally paid off. Composed of 5 talented rappers and 1 singer, Babs, Enesh, Chopper, Dylan Dillinger, Freddie P, and Sarah became the super group that Diddy dubbed Da Band. Although the dysfunction of the group and continuous disagreement are cited as the reason for their breakup, after their debut album Too Hot for TV, nothing can ever eliminate what Diddy and the group brought to the screens of the early 2000s. So it was early 2000s. From epically long walks to get cheesecake to fill our bras. MTV's Making the Band 2 delivers some of the best moments in reality TV. 1. Freddie P, known as the thumb-sucking, hot-headed rapper from Miami, Frederick Freddie P. Watson quickly became a fan favorite on the show, equipped with lyrical skills and quiet demeanor, except when tried, there was no denying that Freddie should have blown up. After attempting to secure a deal with Young Money, the talented rapper went on to drop music on his own and has continued to close relationships with fellow the band member Chopper. Well known for being the hardcore talent, the female MC of the group, who was ready to fight when she couldn't get her hair done, Babs, even with her thin frame, carried a heavy name in the game. Despite being offered one of the 3 solo deals after the disbandment of the group, the world would never see the joint album that her and bandmate Ines were supposed to release. Permanently parting ways when the deal fell through, Babs went on to continue making music and in 2010 found the Queen of the Ring, the number one female battle rap league in the world. The YouTube channel has over 180,000 subscribers. Additionally, Babs is the mother of an adorable son named Aiden. Dylan. Perhaps one of the most troubled members of the group while on the show, Dylan Dillinger barely got to add his much-appreciated reggae flair to the group's production. Continuously rebellious and notorious for not pulling his weight when it came to the group, there were many times where the additional members, and not to mention Diddy, became fed with his antics. After the group disbanded in 2004, Dillinger went on to pursue a solo career, which eventually landed a deal under the name Dylan Dilly on Akon's label, recently releasing his album Pain to Power. Dilly is still spinning hot fire everywhere he goes. If you remember, that's what, when they did the on the band, Chappelle said, spitting hot fire, hot fire. Sarah Stokes, holding the title as the only singer to be chosen for the group, Sarah Stokes was both the beauty and vocally talented member of the 6th member hip hop. Despite her powerful voice and appreciative addition to the group, she regularly faced conflict with others because of her singing and bass and controlling husband Tony. Yes. I remember him. After the group dissolution in 2004, Stokes hit a rough patch in her marriage. There was a rushed sexual physical altercation with her husband, with the last incident ending her a short stint in jail. Upon being released, she started Centric from the bottom up alongside 4 other women who were looking to rebuild their career. Central Rap said it has been working her solo career and is promoting her new documentary, Broken Things. She discusses her past experiences with abuse. Okay. Let's keep going. Okay. I just had it. I lost it. Shoot. So, Chopper, the youngest and most rambunctious member of the group, Chopper Young City, born Kevin Barnes, had many altercations with fellow members of the group, but his talent seemed to outshine those moments while on the show. Once the group called it quits in 2004, Chopper signed to Diddy's Bad Boy Sound label, and like most of the other artists who inked solo deals, never released, even though the New Orleans rappers started talks of being signed by Birdman to Cash Money. It is said that with rapper Wayne put that potential situation to an end afterwards. He went his own MOE, money over everything, but found himself in trouble with the law once again. At that point, the town survivor was going by the stage name Rodney Hill, but has since taken on the name Chopper City and is currently releasing new music under it. I don't know why I look at his picture. It got me thinking of Soulja Boy. Ten, making the band, banking on the responsibility of attempting to whip the group. In shape, Philly native Enes had the ability to dominate the stage every time he spit around. Going on to be, what's happened, how I lost the article. For some reason I lost the article. Don't know why I did it. And I gotta reopen it to get back to where I was. Okay. There we go. Okay. Making the responsibility of attempting to whip the group into shape. Philly native Enes had been dominated to save it every time he rhymed. Going on to be signed to the group ways, Ness, who would have perfectly with Babs on the mic, never got the chance to give the joint album we were looking forward to. Though, the altercation between him and Miami rapper Freddie P is perhaps one memorable altercations of the moment. Has kept his cool after left the Bad Boy label and is known for penning songs on Diddy's first album. However, a few years back, there was an ongoing feud between he and Bammy that has since been dissolved. Although no member of the band, he found it necessary at the time to bring Harlem rapper and world champion J.L.'s Enes in an all-out freestyle battle, quite possible one of the best lyrical battles to hit our television screen. Then he co-signed what many already knew, J. Mills was the star. After his appearance on the show, Mills went releases No, and was offered there with Warner Brothers. Due to career differences, though, he left the label and signed to Universal shortly after his signing. He departed that label too and went on to work on his own. In 2008, he was signed to the Warner Brothers imprint and was featured on singles such as Every Girl and Bedrock. Despite being on the label for 8 years, Mills then went on to release his debut album, Nothing to Promise, and decided to depart from Young Money earlier this year. Since 2004, the rapper has released almost 2 dozen mixtapes. With music mogul and smart businessman Sean Puff Diddy, Sean Puff Daddy Combs, who then went by Diddy, took over MTV's Making the Band franchise in 2002. No one knew what to expect. Little did we know, though, it would over up some of the best business information out there, as well as classic television moments. While fans got the opportunity to see how serious Diddy was about his business, it also shed light on how hard it is to make it in the industry if you wanted to work with those established. Since Rob being the second star making the band, Diddy wanted to create two more installments that offered up for Diddy's day 20, as well as for artists Donnie Klang. He has released solo albums, Father of the Group, Dirty Money, starred in films, and continued to lead in the industry by molding the most recently the 20th anniversary of Bad Boy label and launched a tour with former and currently signed artists to coincide. There were coming titles, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, and Bad Boy to go along with it, too. As a maid, 14, Diddy was noted as being the top-ranking entrepreneurial entertainers. So this article is open. I don't know when the that's aware that with the for the band. And I know people looked at the band like, oh, I'm not walking, because remember, and make another band, I would say Diddy's third installment when he had the first one. Day 26, walk across the Brooklyn Bridge and get some cheesecake from Junior's. And I remember that episode that they had to film it because you're not allowed to film or take pictures on the bridge. They had to stop filming that part, showing them walking across the bridge. And as they was walking across, Diddy had them singing as they walked across the bridge. Why I went to get him some cheese. Yep. I'm like, watch. But they put out some good music. As well as it came. But it just didn't work out. You know, Brian, Day 26, saying that one of the members went crazy, was trying to, I don't know if he said Robert went crazy, was somebody. You can't have that. You can't be a part of the group and you don't want somebody. They don't want to be around you. They're always going to be in fear of their life. Because, you know, when you hot, you say things in the heat of the moment that you don't mean. You know, Danny King didn't last. I think Danny King either dropped 2 albums and then they disbanded. I think they came back and disbanded again. Aubrey was on the TV show. Damn it. I can't remember the name of the daggone show, but she was on the BET show with Nivea, the girls, the two sisters from Cherish, Keely from 3LW, Pam from Total. She left that show, and it's like, wow, the tables have turned in the game. North Carolina is up by 1, and there's 5 minutes left in the game. Duke has played some good games. Play a good game today. Even if they don't win, I know K's last game, he want to leave on a win, and I get that, leave on a win. One way has to happen, and you got to stop them. You got to stop them scoring. Y'all have to lead, you got to come back to take the lead. You have to stop scoring one, but don't come in the process. Just scored again. North Carolina is up again. If you good at the three, take the three to at least get close and This is my thing. You got to shoot the three. So at least bring y'all close enough. Close enough to, you know, to score. It's 75-71. If you shoot a three, that'd be down one. And it'd be easy for them to, come back. Duke is ranked number 4. Damn! North Carolina, I don't give a fuck if it's Blaze last game as a coach. We ain't letting y'all win. Those are my boys, but... Those are my boys, but, you know... Excuse me, y'all. So let's get back to the show. I'm going to keep you updated on the score and all that, but, you know. But I wanted to share that. I'll share this with y'all. And my source is The Grill. And it says, you must call up his race coverage of Ukraine's versus non-European refugees. White reporters are really in their fight over the site refugees. Some of the news media have done a cautious job of the unfolding refugee crisis in Ukraine, as thousands of people flee the Russian invasion of the country, openly displaying their racial bias. Reporters said the sound out loud as they regard white Ukrainian refugees as civilized and dismiss non-European refugees as poor, dirty, and savages. You gotta be effing kidding me. Yes, I didn't curse this, but effing kidding me. And then it says, whether in U.S. or foreign media, a glimpse of the news coverage story. Here's Alan McLeod, he tweeted, he said, the most racist Ukraine coverage on TV, the BBC, very emotional for me because I see U.S. people with blue eyes and blonde hair being killed. Ukraine's deputy prosecutor David, I can't say his last name. Says, this is an Iraq or Afghanistan. This is a relatively civilized, relatively European city. CBS foreign correspondent Charlie D'Agata said that Kevich was D'Agata apologized for the comments. The damage was done and we got the message. Says what's compelling is looking at them the way they are dressed. These are prosperous middle class people who said Al Jazeera anchor Adobe speaking on the Qatar News Network. These are not our refugees trying to get away from the Middle East or North Africa. They look like any European family you live next door to. This war is because the people look like us and have Instagram and Netflix accounts in a poor, remote country anymore, in the Telegraph. It's very emotional for me because I see European people with blue eyes and brown hair being killed, said Ukrainians. We cannot downplay the more than 600,000 people who have fled so far. As many as 4 million could escape the country in the end. After all, war is hell, and refugees go through such as we cannot imagine. Ask the people in Somalia, Ethiopia, Haiti, Yemen, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, elsewhere, been displaced and left homeless, threatened with torture, starvation, and death. These are the victims of war and economic devastation, change and political persecution. According to the UNHCR, at least 84 million people around the world have been forced to flee their homes because of the conflict and persecution of these 35 million children means more are stateless and lack basic rights and necessities. Rather than acknowledge the pain Ukraine refugees are experiencing and speak of all refugees worldwide with the humanity they deserve, reporters have decided to pick and choose those who are worthy of media attention. Calling Ukrainian refugees civilized assumes they are immune from the suffering normally reserved for darker-hued throwaway folks. Acting as if Europeans are unfamiliar with war, these deporters failed to do their research, which would have revealed that as many as 65 million people have died from war and genocide in Europe since 1801. We won't even get into the genocide Europeans have committed against indigenous people in Africa, Asia, and the Americas, Oceania, and other parts of the global south. Meanwhile, the media ignored the plight of tens of thousands of students from Africa, Asia, and the Arab world who live in Ukraine and are desperate to leave. At least two students from Algeria and India were killed. And may report the poor treatment of African students and migrants fleeing Ukraine, including Ukrainian border guards beating Africans and blocking them from boarding buses and leaving the country. Around 20% of foreign students in Ukraine are from Africa, including 4,000 from Nigeria, members of the UN Security Council from Gabon, Ghana, and Kenya condemn the racial abuse these African refugees have faced. Even when crossing the border, you cannot catch a break. The harsh treatment of non-European refugees in Ukraine mirrors the attitude of white nationalist governments and politicians in Europe, the United States, and elsewhere who view non-white immigrants as a disease and refugees of color as a threat to integrity and security of their country. The prevailing media narrative erases the diversity of Europe and the presence of black people on the continent, who date back to the first Europeans thousands of years ago and are part of minority groups such as the Roma and Sinti, who are of Indian descent and the indigenous Sami people. And let us not forget the were arrested in Moscow. Pushkin Square, while protesting against the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The square is named for Alexander Pushkin, the greatest poet of all time who was of African ancestry. Wow. I didn't know. Look at that, getting a history lesson while reading an article. This is why diversity inclusion is in journalism matter. More than 3/4 of newsroom employees in the U.S. and 94% of British journalists are white. But journalists lack sensitivity, training, and understanding on the issues of race, and there are few reporters and staff in the mold of Terrell Starr. This is what happens when the reporters do not reflect the breadth and scope of the world they cover. This is what you get, folks reporting with a color-coded, separate and unequal attitude that values refugees with white skin and threatens refugees in various shades of brown and black. This journalistic apartheid is shameful but also very predictable. And you know me. And So I'm like, this is why we need to tell our own story. Because the way they tell our story, it makes it non-important. And our stories are important to be told. Lots of videos. The Africans and, you know, they were, you know, trying to either, I think it was the train or the bus they were trying to get on to get out of there. They wouldn't let them on. And these people had children. You know, you let them on because of the children. But you want to get all the Ukrainians on first. You want to let them on. I say women and children should get on first. Women and children should get on first. Then everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Excuse me, y'all. But, yeah. You know when I'm pissed off, I curse, but I'm not. I'm not going to do it. T.O. is at the game. Jerry Seinfeld is, well, I'm keeping y'all caught up. North Carolina took a big lead from Duke, and it's 43.7 seconds left in this in the final quarter of the game. It's 88-76 North Carolina. I thought Duke had this game. When I watched the first quarter, I thought Duke had this game. I really thought Duke had this game. I was like, nah. Like, we're not having it. You know, I really don't like, you know, I really rarely report stories like this. But, you know, when six of me, I report, we talk about stories like this. And that's fucked up. You know, the racist coverage of what's going on in the Ukraine. Another story I want to share with y'all. Is I want to know what y'all think about this. Now, it says, Peggy Carter describes what she requires from a man when dating. Okay. It says, buckle up your seatbelts. Virginia Carter talks about what she requires when dating, and any man she chooses is definitely in for a ride. Many men may want to take the daughter of a man out or perhaps make her their lady, but dating the young Carter comes with quite a lot of requirements. As Virginia Carter recently hopped on her Instagram, engaged with her followers and whatever inquiries they may have about her personal life. Fans of Carter know that she was previously in a relationship with Atlanta rapper FN Lucci. The two in on and off relationship that spanned between 2018 to 2020. One of the questions that a fan had for her was what her ideal first date would look like. Listen up, y'all. Listen up. Carter states that she prepares herself to say what a cute first date would be like for her. Admittedly, social society states that she is extra and would rather her date go above and beyond for her. But then, Carter shares the two ways she envisions have a date to go. The first way, which Reginae Carter prefers for her man, inform her that he is to pick that she is to pick out an outfit because he's taking her. After she plays coy and asks her date where he plans to take her, Reginae Carter envisions him saying that he's already picked out her outfit. That this is indeed a first date and not Valentine's Day. She continues with her elaborate vision. Reginae Carter imagines retrieving the outfit that her date has picked out for her. Once she gets ready and admires how cute she looks, the growing up hip-hop reality star anticipates that her date has sent a driver to pick her up and transfer her to wherever the predetermined destination. Reginae Carter smiles and smooths her hair as she thinks about the idea of where her date could possibly be. Surprisingly, the television sees herself pulling up to a stadium. Imagine seeing lights down to brighten the empty venue as Reginae Carter enters and sees an elaborate setup plan just for her on their first date. If that is not their first date, Carter states that the options could also include the man renting out a movie theater or restaurant, just something very private because I don't like people in my business like that. So Reginae Carter, of course, she would love it to be private so that platforms like The Shade won't blow it up and expose their outing to the world. Just make it private. She continues, please, Dave, because I do not want you to be seen on the first date, Carter explains. That even though she may be on a lavish first date, that does not mean she will end up liking the person. But there is hope because once they that she's in this experience, right, Carter feels that she will end up liking who she is on the date with. Carter proclaims that the intention is to have an enjoyable time, but after that thing is all said and done, her date is taking her home and waiting to make sure that she gets safe. There will also be no sexual Tuesday, according to Reginae Carter. He don't want to do this to me because he loves me, and he respects me, exclaimed Carter. And that concludes Reginae Carter's idea of amazing first date. If that doesn't happen, she explains that the second type of date she would like. This one also includes dinner and a movie. However, the movie theater still has to be rented out. Like, come on, bro. She's claiming that it's not that hard for anyone to make such a gesture. And to be clear, if a man cannot do something as simple as renting out a theater, which they call it, something not interested in having time. Being wasted. She states that if you can do what she's listed in her scenario and make her wild, then things will go well. Carter demands add to her previous claim that his father cannot have children and she chooses to date another man. The first also stated she would no longer be dating any more rappers following her farewell relationship with Wyatt and Lucci. Okay, that's her scenario, how the first date, she want her first date to be. Let me explain something to you, Reginae Carter. Sorry for the background noise. You are not going to meet a man who got money like your daddy. You are not going to meet a man who has money like your daddy that they can pay to buy out the movie theater. They can pay the have the restaurant be empty, just you and them enjoying dinner at the restaurant. Or renting out a stadium and all that stuff. You're not meeting men that have money like that, like your daddy. If you wanted to rent the stadium, let's just say she wanted to rent the stadium. Let's just say the stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play, right? Say she wanted to rent that out and have a party there. And so her party at the stadium. Her father could afford to rent it out for her to have a party there. The man she's dating ain't gonna have money like that to rent out no stadium for no date. You don't want to date a rapper anymore. You don't want to date a man with kids. Let me explain it to you ladies who say, I don't want to date a man with kids. That put limitations on men, put limitations on the type of man you would date. That dude that you say, that dude that may already have kids, may be the one that God has sent your way to be your forever. Yeah. Maybe your forever. You don't know who your forever person is going to be. You don't know that. You don't know who your forever is going to be for real. It didn't work. It didn't, your relationship with wife and Lucci didn't work out. Okay. But don't limit yourself just because to love just because a man got kids. Don't limit yourself just because the man has children. Because I'm going to tell you something. I said that to myself when I was younger. I would never date a man with kids. Would never date a man with kids. And wind up dating many a man with kids. No, our relationships ain't last, you know, but still in all. I didn't pass up on being in love just because a man had kids. Man that you meet with kids may be the one. And I get it why a lot of women say they don't want a man with kids because they don't want to deal with the drama he has with the mother of his child. Because, you know, you got the mother of the child saying, I don't want her around my child. She can't, when you have our child, she can't be there. I don't want her around the child. I've read many of stories where the new girl, you know, I read a story where the father's in a new relationship, right? Right? The new girlfriend, so his daughter came over, the new girlfriend decided to take the girl to get her hair done, and the mother didn't like it. The mother didn't like the fact that she took her to get her hair done. And I think also she took her shopping. She didn't like the way she looked, the way she was dressed, whatever. But the mother didn't like that. And the mother was like, I don't like the fact that your girl took my daughter to get her hair done. Because you know what it is? Some women, some mothers, you know, some of the mothers feel that the new girl is trying to take their place as being the mother. No. Remember, when you're in a relationship, that person is there to enhance your life. You know what I'm saying? So she's there to enhance his life, and she has to accept. When you dating a man with kids, you have to accept it's a package deal that him and his kids is a package deal. You wouldn't want to be in a relationship with this person. They are a package deal. You know? But, hey, you're not going to meet, like I said, Regine is not going to meet a man who got money like her daddy that can rent out movie theaters and stadiums. She's not meeting no man like that. And these young rappers she's been dating, They don't have money like Lil Wayne. They don't have a third of what Lil Wayne has. They have a little tiny pinch of it, but not, they don't have a, you know what I'm saying? And this is why, because men say the same thing, they don't want to date women with kids, and this is why women hide the fact they have children, and this is why men hide the fact, because they meet someone they want to be with, but when you hear them say, I can't, I don't want to be with a man with kids, and give their reason, but you feel this person is that one for you, you hide that until it's too late. Y'all like years in, you can't tell them you got kids. Some women, I think, don't want to date men because they want, when they ready to have children, they want their kids to be his first set of kids. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Well, let's see. How much? You know, sorry about that background noise, but, you know, I'm like, you know, I was young, I did say I didn't want to date a man with kids because then they introduce you to their kids, and then their kids don't like you. And if the kid don't like you, you understand what I'm saying? If the kid don't like you, that's the parents take it as a sign that some people take it as a sign. Let's see here. So, here's a feel-good story. I'm going to share this feel-good story, and then I'm going to end the show. So, poor pig's bus fare for woman with kid, then his mother receives $1 million. Nicholas stepped in and paid for Sandra and her newborn baby's travel when he saw. The bus driver ordered them to get off since they didn't have enough money for the price. Shannon responded to the little boy's charity by doing something unexpected. A few days later, after escaping her violent husband, Giles, Sandra Anderson has to spend the night at her friend Brittany's house in Michigan. Miss Anderson, Sandra's mother, had often warned her about Giles, but she was young and careless at the time. She only learned how awful he was after they married. Miss Anderson stayed in the same town as Bethany, but Sandra lacked the courage to continue to face her mother after the brutality with which her marriage had ended, at least not until she received a phone call earlier the next morning, alerting her that her mother had suffered a heart attack and was being brought to the hospital. The mom covered her daughter, Ava, in a blanket and ran out the door, and she hung up the phone, leaving her wallet behind after numerous fruitless attempts to be accepted by Uber or persuade a taxi driver to give her a ride. She had to travel to the bus stop near Bethany's house. She did, however, arrive at the bus stop just as the bus was about to depart. She raced inside the bus to keep herself and Ava warm, was about to sit down when the driver expected her to her, "Please accept my apology, ma'am. We haven't paid your fare." "Excuse me just a minute," she apologized. She apologized and went hunting for her handbag, but she noticed her wallet was missing when she reached inside her bag. Sandra looked through her pockets to see if she had any money, but there were similarly empty. Meanwhile, the barstow was becoming increasingly irritated because could you just move along because it's snowing? The roads are ice and I can't drive quickly, he asserted vehemently. Santa raised her hand for her purse, raised her head from her purse. I'm sorry, I forgot to bring my purse. The bus driver gave her a stern look and said, I'm sorry, I won't be able to accommodate you. Get off the bus now. No, please, Santa pleaded. I have a baby with me. It's freezing. Plus, my mother has been hospitalized. I promise that once I get to the hospital, I'll have some money to pay you. The driver burst out laughing. Nice effort, woman. But many people have made up tales like that and avoided paying the fee. I'm a knucklehead. Sandra got off the bus, dejectedly picking up her bag from the seat and bracing herself for the cold. But then she was interrupted by a voice. I'll pay for your bus ticket. Please don't tell them to leave. Sandra looked around to see an unkempt young man standing there. Please, man, and the fare will be paid by me. Sandra took a seat and said, thank you. What's your name, by the way? My name is Nicholas, he said to the youngster joyfully. You are not required to thank me. My mother believes that if you have the ability to help someone, you should. Your mother's correct, Nicholas, Sandra remarked, smiling. How come you're traveling alone? The child said. Oh, I'm on my way back to my grandmother's place. Mama instructed me to give her medicine since she was unwell. My stop appears to be approaching, so I'll exit now. Goodbye. Wait a minute, Nicholas, Sandra expressed her thoughts. Could you please provide me your address? I'd like to meet your mother and express my gratitude to her. Sure, Nicholas grinned and walked away. After giving the address, Sandra went to the address. Nicholas provided her the next day, and her heart fell when she saw a little dilapidated two-room house. Sandra noticed a fragile emerge from the home. She wasn't that elderly, but the dark bags under her eyes and hollow showed she was struggling. Sandra was already worried about Nicholas's condition, but when she discovered that Nicholas's father had abandoned his mother, became pregnant, she couldn't but step in. Sandra set up a GoFundMe page to gather funds for the mother and boy that night at home, and then solicited the help of friend Bethany, a popular blogger with millions of Instagram followers. Bethany went live on her page explaining Nicholas and his mother's tale. She received not just a large number of helping hands, but about $1 million in just 3 days. Furthermore, the money continued to flow even after that. Sandra couldn't stop sobbing. She handed over the money to Nicholas' mother. Thankfully, with that money, she and her son were finally relocated to a nicer residence, and Nicholas, who had never been able to get an education, was now able to finish his education. He took the last bit of money he had to pay for this lady and her baby on the bus to go see her mother in the hospital. And because the good justice did for her, paid it forward and helped him and his mother out. You know what gets me? You know what gets me is these GoFundMe's. I know a lot of people use GoFundMe for good causes. And stuff like that, right? I know I use it for good causes and stuff like that. But I've heard stories where people made fake GoFundMe's to get money out of people. I read an article years ago when we were doing Six in the Road that a lady said she had cancer and made a GoFundMe talking about I used to pay medical bills because she got cancer. Kind of find out she didn't have cancer. And luckily, that the people from GoFundMe didn't give the lady the money. once they found out it was all a scam. Yep. Once they found out it was all a scam. And some of these GoFundMe's be legit, and then some be skeptical. Yep, you get skeptical. So, the game is over. North Carolina won that, but Coach K is about to say his final words in the gymnasium that has his name on it. And that is it for Six and Road. The next, I'll be back at 11 for Saturday Night Indie Mix. You get nothing but the best in indie music. And I don't know how I'm flowing with the music tonight, but it will be great music. It will be great music. Oh, boy. I feel like I'm getting tired. And but what, before I'm out of here, what I want to talk to y'all about is the Stop the Violence Initiative called Ceasefire, That Road to Stardom, and the Black Lives Foundation got going on. And with this initiative, we want to let the kids, we want to let people, not just kids, we want to let the people know that you don't need violence to solve your problem. You know, people are picking up guns to solve their problems when you don't need to. And instead of hitting a target, innocent people are being killed. You understand what I'm saying? Years ago, we read an article on Sixth and Road, and a person was shooting through the park and shot and killed an innocent little kid because they saw the person who they had beef with. They saw them in the park and went in the park, start shooting, and the innocent little boy got shot. I'm trying to remember if he died, but I know an innocent little boy got shot. You know, you think sending your kid to the park, it's safe to send your kid to the park. But when you hear stories like that, it's like, for me, it's like, I'm glad I live in a house where I have a backyard. So if the kids want to go out and play, they go right in the backyard. Then I don't have to send them to the park. And then you hear, oh, was a shooter at the park and some innocent kid got shot. But you don't want to get the call that it's your kid. You do not want to get the call that it's your kid. And my heart goes out to all the parents who lost their children due to senseless violence that they had nothing to do with. I lost my brother due to senseless violence. I lost one of my brother's good friends, who I consider a brother, through senseless violence because of mistaken identity. Because he looked like somebody they had beef with. They just started shooting, and my brother was with him at the time that they were shooting at him. My brother didn't get shot, but he did. And it's crazy. Y'all don't think. Y'all just out here all willy-nilly. Y'all not thinking. You're not thinking. You're out here willy-nilly shooting your gun off innocent people, and then they jump, then they leave town and go hide in some relative's house down south or somewhere else, and they hide now. And then the people who did it was like, nah, I'm not going to tell this. So you don't want to tell who did it, and you know who did it, but you rather the suffer. You know, if the murder is never solved, it becomes a cold case. And that's messed up that because of mistaken identity, he was killed. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure the person who did it probably realized, like, yo, that wasn't even who. You know what I'm saying? Innocent kids get killed because y'all want to pull out guns to solve your problems. You know what I'm saying? So we have, you know, the Stop the Violence Initiative, go ceasefire. And part of the initiative, we have a t-shirt that you can get at voterstarpress.com or blakoke.creator-spring.com. You can get it. And we're doing a ceasefire mixtape as well. That's part of the initiative. Where it's going to be a 15-track mixtape. All the songs are going to be about stopping the violence. It's going to be artists, different genres. Because normally, you know, maybe you think hip-hop, you may think R&B. You're not thinking pop, you're not thinking rock. You know what I'm saying? You're not thinking that. But, yeah. So if you want to be a part of the mixtape, you can hit me at roadstarter2010@gmail.com is roadstarter2010@gmail.com with your bio on pic and then your name, your artist name, the name of the song. Yep. Don't care how long it is. There's no lines of when you need to send it by. Make sure in the subject line of the email you put mixtape submission. Yep, mixtape submission. All genre, like I said, all genres are welcome. Yep, all genres are welcome. And the more submissions we get, the more songs we will add to the mixtape. If we get just 10 submissions, then the mixtape will be just 10 submissions. If we get, let's say, just 12, then it'll be just 12. If no, like I said, there's no deadline. You got plenty of time to finish your album and submit a song for the mixtape. Yep. And the email, once again, is roadstarter2010@gmail.com to submit for the mixtape in the subject line of the mixtape submission. It says, like I said, all genres are welcome. Which I'm trying to do it to where they put it, we're going to put it on streaming platforms and that you, the artist, will get, you know, get your royalties on the back. Get your royalties on the back. And, like, if we are able, you know, we can put it on streaming platforms, we sell it, the money raised will go to the Black Oak Feather Foundation. So, basically, you'll be helping the Black Oak Feather Foundation. Yep. You'll be helping the Black Oak Feather Foundation. Let me look at the time. Okay. So, So any item, because I know if you go to the Black Oak Forever store, any item that you buy from the Black Oak Forever store goes to the Black Oak Forever Foundation. You know, the T-shirt is there, and the T-shirt says, ceasefire, my life matters. Because like I said, too many innocent kids are dying. You killing people for no reason. My cousin in January was senselessly murdered because these dudes got to a fight at a club party. And he, you know, being Mr. Nice Guy, was burning it up. And then when they was, you know, leaving, when the fight broke out, you know, the bouncers was like, everybody out, you know, da da da, you know, and they wasn't letting people back in. They had nothing to do with the situation. My cousin had nothing to do with the situation. They wasn't letting people back in. So the guy that shot him, this is the story I've heard, the guys that shot him was like, that's him right there, thinking that the person they had the beef with, and it wasn't, and they just shot and they killed him. You understand what I'm saying? Innocent people are dying for no reason because y'all got beef, and the beef is something stupid. Like I feel, you know, it's always something stupid, and the person feels they was disrespected. This is why we got to Stop the Violence Initiative going on, and we're doing the mixtape and got the T-shirt. Because I really want to get physical copies of it so that we can raise money for the Black Oak Forever Foundation. I'm not done, even though I said I was ending the show, I'm not done talking to us. I'm going to go a little longer. Just a little bit longer. I'll go just a little bit longer. And, you know, and the money we're going to use in the, you know, because I had my brother was into photography. He was into music. So my plan with the foundation was like people, like if say like a young kid has aspirations of being a rapper and you know, they good. I want to help them. Say a whole album. I'll say put out a single. It's a single that can generate some money for them. Help them put out a single that would generate some money for them. If they're interested in photography, help them learn photography, you know. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's all about helping. Just like I do with Road to Starlight Radio, offering indie artist airplay, not a lot of stations are going to do that because a lot of these artists don't have a big buzz behind them. So a lot of stations want to play music by artists who got a big buzz around them. I'm not like that. If your music is good, it gets played. If I promise you airplay, I'm going to definitely give you airplay. But if I don't like it, I might play it once or twice, and that's about it. But 9 and 10, I wind up liking it. Sometimes what makes me really like it sometimes is the beat. And sometimes I say to myself, I wish I had the instrumental. Or if the person's running or singing, they sound good, but the beat is terrible. Yeah, sometimes, but like, I wish I had the acapella version without the beat. You know, sometimes I say that because I want to help. You know what I'm saying? I want to help, you know. That's why I want to help in any way I can. So this will be dope, right? You get some young kids who may be into photography and get a photographer to be able to teach them how to do photography. You know, person who's into music production, teach the kids how to make beats. Those interested. You know, different aspects of the music industry that these kids want to get into. Like, if they person says, oh, I want to be a rapper, but they don't rap as good, have somebody with the skill to teach them how to rap. And somebody, you know, teach them how to write their rhymes. Because some kids, some people have the talent of rapping, but they don't know, they can't write a rhyme. You know, somebody might be into DJing. Want to help them learn how to DJ. You know, want to do all this stuff. But, you know, people don't do it. Even though they're helping, people not, you know, even though they're helping, you got to, you know, have the equipment for them to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Got to have the equipment for them. Like the photographer was telling me what cameras we need for the kids to use, you know, for some starting out, what cameras we would need to get for them to use to start out to learn how to do photography, or the parents. And, you know, the parents might not have money like that to buy a camera. We want to help, you know? So, yeah, that's why we're doing, you know, the mixtape to raise money for the foundation and, you know, put these programs together to help these kids out. Yep, that's what we want to do. So, even if you don't want to buy a t-shirt or whatever from the Black Forever store, you can always send a donation to paypal.me/blackokforever. That's BLAKOKE. Or if you don't use PayPal and you use Cash App only, put $BlackOakForever, which is BLAKOKE. You know how to spell forever. I ain't got to spell that out. You should know how to spell that. If you don't know how to spell it, what you've been learning is what you don't know how to spell forever. So those are the only two ways you can send a donation. If you don't want to buy an item from the store, but you want to help the cause. Because not only does the Black Oak Foundation have a Stop the Violence initiative, we have a domestic violence initiative, we have an anti-bullying initiative. In the Black Oak Forever store, you will see the shirt. It's two different shirts that coincide with our bullying initiative. And there's one t-shirt that coincides with our domestic violence initiative. Let me, I'm going to pull up the store as I talk to y'all. I know I'm silent. I don't know why. But I can't talk while I type. I don't know why. Oh, I spelled spring wrong. I was like, why the page didn't come up? Because I spelled the word wrong. So, this one is, this one is stand up. I'm trying to read it. Hashtags. Oh, we have the also stand proud in your beauty. That's another, you know, because we got a lot of young girls who are insecure, think they're ugly when they're not ugly. They have people telling them they're ugly. When, you know, and it makes them more insecure and stuff, and they hate themselves. That's one shirt. That's one shirt. That's part of an initiative we have. Let me go back. The other one is stop being a bully, be a friend. And that one, we have adult sizes and kid sizes on that. If you don't want to buy a t-shirt, we have a mug that says Stand Up to Bullying. And on the other side, it says Stop Being a Bully, Be a Friend. We have a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. We have the ceasefire, like I said, for the Stop the Violence Initiative. And the other one is, okay, there's another page. Oh, we got, okay, the domestic violence one is, one of the t-shirts is, I am not your punching bag, hashtag I'm not your punching bag. And the other one is, it's two, for our Stop the Violence Initiative, there's two. I'm trying to find the other one for some reason. The other one was, I don't know why the other one is not showing. The other one was something about a man being a coward for putting his hands on a woman. I can't remember that one because it's not showing on the page, and I don't know why it's not on the page. So here we go. So when you go to the store, let me go to my it's in my listing. I know it's there. And I can tell you what it says while going to my listing. Here, I think this is it right here. It says only cowards. Dang it. I'm trying to make I can't make it bigger to read it. Okay, so here we go. It says only cowards mentally and physically abuse women. That's part of our domestic violence initiative. And money raised, like I said, if anybody buys those shirts, the money raised from the domestic violence shirts, like I said, the money is going to go to Rago Forever Foundation, and then we're going to take money raised and donate it to a domestic violence organization. Yep. That's exactly what we're going to do. And I don't know why it wasn't showing in the store. So what I have to do is add it to the store. It's not showing in the store, so that means I have to add it back to the store. And that's it. You know, you just go anything you buy in the Black Oak Forever store, it goes to help the Black Oak Forever Foundation so that we can, you know, get these programs off and running. Because I'm tired of seeing these young kids on the streets, hanging out in the streets. Because you know what they see in their environment. You know, what some kids is monkey see, monkey do. They see the older guys in the neighborhood selling drugs. They think, oh, that's the thing to do, so they have to get into it. No, you're trying to keep them from doing stuff like that. So I'm going to say peace and love. I appreciate you. Thank you for always rocking with your girl on the Road to Stardom Radio. I'll see you tonight at 11 for Saturday Night Indie. Bye-bye now.